know the cue where to come in, don't you, Zubin? And then it says, Maida gutted a few of his own licks, like warning the audience, quote, "You must not think that this is in any way a rock concert. This is music like any other music," which is an erroneous statement. He gutted his licks. Hey, people, we're not being a rock concert, for fuck's sake. This is music like any other music. Like, the sentence doesn't even make any sense. He's trying to preserve the acoustic museum level. He says, all this crazy stuff that Frank's doing has nothing to do with music. And remember, we're doing music besides Frank's nonsense. That's what his opinion was. So then, three, Frank subjected the orchestra and audience to him. You know, I've never heard the details. Or if it's in the Playboy article, then I haven't written it in 40. It's 40 years ago. Subjected to the... Well, it's 45 years ago, 46 years ago. He subjected the orchestra and audience to a mild dissertation on teenage cum stains that ended with a brutal describing cum stains. dissertation on teenage cum stains that ended with a brutal parody of Jim Morrison's Oedipal Walk down the ancient hallway in which the hero discovers his father beating his meat to a Playboy magazine. You know, the famous words on the end. The end. I wonder why he made it put up with this. So they quote... they quote how the song ends. Frank saying, "He's got the Playboy magazine rolled into a tube and has inserted his member right into the tube." Then he has the Jim Morrison character going, "Father, I want to kill you." And the father goes, "Not now, son, not now," you know, while he's masturbating. Do you guys know the famous The End, the Doors song The End? Jim Morrison acts out this this dramatic Oedipal thing. So Frank is making fun of the Doors, and okay, so he did that, and then the fourth part, 1, 2, 3, 4. He invited members of the Philharmonic to stay for an ad-lib encore of King Kong, during which cellist Kurt Rare established himself as a master. He just kept playing once the concert was over, invited him to hang around and join in. During which cellist Kurt Reher established himself as a master freak, and clarinetist Michelle Zerkowski had a stuffed toy giraffe inserted up her dress. So Frank was doing what he was used to do in New York at the Garrick Theater. You know, all his props and doing sexual innuendo and other absurd stuff. He forced the orchestra to do that. So that was the main inventory. Then it says, musically, Zappa presented a few surprises since his material has always combined rock and classic elements. His version of Edgar Varese's Integrals and his own 200 Motels for Mothers and Orchestra included the usual Zappa riffs from Varese, Stravinsky, orchestra. In general, the sound was terribly distorted, although it did indicate how closely, on purely a central basis, an amplified rock band can resemble an acoustical orchestra. But as Zappa pointed out in his opening statement, quote, "When you play music in a hall designated for basketball, you take your chances," end quote. So Frank knew the environment. He's pointing out the environment. This lab is made up
because
of
this type of halls, there's a lot of reverberation. So
right.
That's why there should have been a lot of distortion with the orchestra and the band.
Right.
Because Zappa,
but as Zappa pointed out in his opening statement, when you play music in the hall designed for basketball, you take your chances. Well, that's also a statement to Zubin Mehta. When you hang out with me, you take your chances. And then he proceeded to humiliate the orchestra. I wonder how much of that was planned. I mean, did he surprise Zubin Mehta? Was it agreed upon? Maybe the Playboy article will tell us. So we'll do the Playboy article some other time. I mean, it's long, so.
No, heat it, Bob, heat it.
you want to hear the Playboy article?
Hit it, Subin.
Yeah, hit it. Beat me. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to take this downbeat article and insert my dick inside it, make a nice tube, and fuck the Xerox. Look, it's early in the morning. People are starting to come in. Garan is there, another Anonymous, and Sean. But we can't have you come in, I don't think, and interrupt the panel. Now, are you guys serious? Let me see if I can find that article. Let's see, Ken. I'd have to go to the Zappa, the major Zappa archive. Let's see. That is, click on the Zappa thing, go to, down at the bottom, all Zappa articles, killuglyradio.com. Excuse me. So, there's a list. 1970, June, Stereo Review. Nope, they do not have it there. So we go to another archive. Scrolling up. Zappa Archive. Oh, it says Great Zappa Archive. AFCA.net article.
Today, because it's Valentine. You have to play. Love songs are for... No, Broken Heart are for
assholes. All right. We will do that. So looking in 1971, they don't list the article. So maybe Playboy wouldn't let them post it because it was in Playboy. So let's see. But I thought I saw it somewhere. So let's see. It's not there. So Rolling Stone, Big Ten, Disco, 69, 70. Mr. Zappa. Okay, so I'm just going to Google it. Maybe it shows up somewhere. Zappa and Zubin Mehta. Zappa, Zubin. Philharmonic. There's actually, you can listen to the fucking thing. Holy shit, there's actually on YouTube, It's an hour and 42 minutes, almost 2 hours long.
Here's the deal. Now, a few of us have been here.
Look, Zappa's got them laughing right from the beginning, but look at the distortion.
Yeah, we're under pressure. Well, we're going to try and do a good job for you. There's no way to tell exactly what's going to happen. First, the tape recorder breaks down. You just don't know. When you play music in a hall designed for basketball, you take your chances. Future music becomes competitive, aggressive, violent, more involved with physical action. Perhaps buildings of this size designed for music will be constructed. Oh, one other thing. With Don. Matt Preston, our organist, please stop vomiting and come up onto the stage.
Yeah, you listened to, we read the Time Magazine review, the Rolling Stone, very, not Rolling Stone, but the other one, very thin. Look at this, this fucking raucous fun going on right from the beginning, right? You don't get the fun sense from the reviews.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
you
but
12,000
they really
people.
Sound like they're inside a cave. There's a lot of reverberation.
Yeah. But, of course, Zappa's, Zubin's not saying anything. Zappa's doing the entertainment. It's his show. And he's making them laugh their butts off. And it says, the guy who posted this says, warning, huge feedback at 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 8 seconds. This is probably the most unique of all Zappa Mother shows and the most unique lineup. The recording is distant but clear. This one is in my top three lineups. Is in my top three. And then the comments, some kid goes, this was my first Zappa concert. Another kid says, this happened exactly 2 months after I was born. Now I am such a Zappa freak. And somebody in a... somebody goes, cacophonia, sort of like quadrophenia, cacophonia, suitable for nowadays folks situated in an anxiety state of mind, dead life, dead end, ba-pa-ba-ba-ba, in a foreign language like in Greek. they go, hilarious, another guy says, hilarious Doors parody at 9:52. Also, the fact that Zappa wasn't jailed for obscenity for uttering the phrase beating his meat a few minutes later tells you what Morrison's arrest was largely all about. Then they had somebody go, I was at this concert. There were 8 of us or so that went. One of our group was not totally planted on the ground. Can you say Hungry Freaks, Daddy? The first part of the concert was the L.A. Philharmonic alone. They ended their set by sending random players walking across the basketball court playing their instruments, a sax player and a violinist, etc. All else was silent except for those 3 or 4 instruments as the players headed across the court to the doors. Our friend thought that the musicians were walking out, that they didn't want to play anymore. So their stoned friend, Hungry Freak Daddy, didn't understand what was going on. So look at this. So their friend interrupted that near silence by shouting at the top of his lungs, what a bunch of shit! He got fooled by the walkout. And somewhere across the arena, a voice answered, what?
Maybe we could hear the parody doing
right.
Of the
yeah.
Doors.
Right. So this guy freaks out. He thinks they're literally walking out. So he wants his money back. He yells out, what a bunch of shit. And someone across the arena answers, right on. So like a typical Zappa environment, people were hallucinating. And it said, the orchestra was at ground level and the mothers were on a raised stage above them. For the encore, Zappa invited any orchestra players to come up and jam. Most fun was a cellist who played Louie Louie with the band. Great, memorable concert. Someone says, thank you so very much. Never heard this version with Ray, Don, and Billy, just previously to the Flo and Eddie run. The stuff with the orchestra sounds real nice. Viva Zappa. So let's go to the 9 minute and 52 second part. 9 minutes. Here it is, 9:50.
And she's putting it all over the side of her face. And you walk in and you say, Mother, I want to kill you. And she pays no attention to you whatsoever. Completely alienated. She's got no time for things like that. She's seen your poster collection. She smells your incense. And she's washed your sheets. And she knows where you're at. Out the door, down the hall, to your father's. Father is sitting on the edge of the bed, and let's be frank about it, ladies and gentlemen, he's beating his meat to a Playboy magazine. He's got the singer fold opened up, and it's Miss January with a brown background, huge, voluminous tits, big ones, nipples that look like fried eggs, or if you prefer, as a
up a camel and stepped on her chest. And she's been airbrushed to make her look robust and mature. And he's got it rolled into a tube. And he's inserted his member into the tube, and he's throttling it vigorously. And you walk in and you say, "Father, I want to kill you." And he says, "Not now, son, not now."
Just another band from L.A. where they have a concert a year later in August 72. No, wait a minute. A few months later. This is May 70, so a year later, August 71, they play in the same Poly Pavilion. You want to hear a really good version of this song, Quality of Vegetables? What do you think? I mean, that's too distorted. Let's play a really good version of this. Really powerful. So what's it called? Call Any Vegetable. 1971, just another band from L.A. So listen to this one. Oh, I think I blocked the volume. Just a second. Click that off. Skype. That. Bring up the volume, sound check, that's ready. Okay, so this should work.
Thank you. Is what the theme of our show is tonight, boys and girls.
Israel will respond to you. And if you're a consenting adult, we want you to call today. In Los Angeles, the number is Richmond 96135. In Downey, it's 347-8932. Call it direct, call it collect, but call it today!
Piece was a song called Call on Me from the Safest Milk album with Captain Beefheart. But at Colony Vegetable, what an awesome performance. Let's see. Let's just replay the guitar slightly. Did you fall off, Roxy? Yeah, I think you did. That's you, Roxy, right there?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So
but we're drinking the milk. Yeah.
Yes. And now that's just one of the – there's many good songs on Safest Milk. That may not be the best song, but it just popped into that, went from the previous one. But Colony Vegetable, this part, let's see, where is it? Colony Vegetable, well, 72 – Watch this take off. This is amazing. Jimmy Page, in fact, they couldn't play like that. That fucking guy's a monster. They couldn't allow him to be known. He was just so great that he could have dominated and become president of the United States. You know what I mean? They had to keep him off the radio. He was just too good.
Yeah.
Look at that. Did you get that? They just took off like a fucking monster. That's 1971. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, all of his leads are different, but they really touch you.
They're
so different.
Powerful.
He doesn't have a real signature, but there's something that he does with his leads that touch you, but they're not all the same. Like a lot of lead guitars, you can say, okay, yeah,
right.
That's Hendrix or that.
That's Hendrix. Yeah.
Van Halen. Yeah,
man,
but that he's really
don't know what he's gonna do.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that was in the auditorium with the bad acoustics a couple months, a year later. So I don't see what we learned there was there's actual recording of that concert. It's a bit crummy, but let's see. It might be better. I'm listening through my phone. Normally I listen through my headphones, but I can't do this when we're playing my stuff. I can't do my headphones. Maybe it sounded better to you guys. Yeah, it sounded pretty bad to me, you know, the Pauly, the resonating acoustic. But so let's see. I didn't see all. Okay, what do they say? Take 7, Philharmonic Zuba, Google search. So, Discogs. Number two, Billboard. So we'll just have to. I have the article. So we. What's this?
Eat it.
What? You want it? Look, let's see how it goes. I mean, I'd have to go find it. I have to go out into the fucking secret vault. And pull out the Zappa stuff and find the article. Because I've got the folders from 65, 66 up till 70. The next folder would have it. So I'm going to, I mean, we've been going for fucking 2 days or something. So let's have a little eye on it. To the long stretch here. Whole waves of ionauts have come and gone, fallen asleep. Gotten pregnant, had babies, so we're there. 122 hours. Well, Bob drones on, even forcing you two to fall asleep as he reads obscure reviews. But it worked out with the different variety.
No, it was nice.
So let's sort of end this. What do you think? Ion's coming back soon, so we better get our homework done.
It was very interesting to compare these reviews, and then to listen to the cave, to the content.
The cave, right.
It's really it's a total different thing from what they're reviewing or reporting. Yeah,
different media.
Yeah.
You've got this huge acoustic environment where everybody's having a great time, and you read some dinky little point of view description in a flat piece of paper. It's an example of different media, our very point.
Yes.
It's of the distortion of the broadcast, because
right
from what they're reporting, one may think it was sort of dull or something, and then it's very
dull.
Yeah, it's actually
and
not
like
that at all.
Like, it's just like Rolling Stone, the major media, they're going to put down Frank. They emphasize this supposed division between Zubin and Frank, and the fucking audience is having a great time. You know, Frank is being a great entertainer. And they don't say that, dare say it in Time Magazine's article.
Yeah, so
it's clear that they're partial to the classical music.
What did you say, Roxy?
Yeah, it was great that you did this comparison of the different reviews, and then we heard the actual thing.
Yeah. Very good. illustration of the puniness of literate media. This stupid little, I mean, if you got a little mind, you want to read a description and you don't like Frank, they do a nice snarky put down. And then we have The Electric World, which is totally different, which shows a whole different thing. So it sounded like Zappa was, it was like a Zappa concert. I mean, where's Zubin? What'd they do? Can't hear them. Frank was putting the effects preceding the cause in there. He knew they'd want to walk out, so he had them pretend to walk out, and somebody got pissed off that it really was happening. It was like somebody, the people that brought the guy who yelled, see this and report in the comments. See, with the Googler, everybody can find out anything pretty quickly because there are always friends reading things. And so, hey, they're talking about that concert went to. And they call up Billy. Hey, you were the guy who yelled out. Hey, let's describe it. Speed up of interconnected facts happening there. Okay.
In a way, I think we have to do this type of metanoias of cleaning up all these things that have been accumulating through the alchemists and the mystics and all these things, all these labyrinths that have been created trying to break the codes. Because there is a logic and the symbols and all these things that people see in there and try to find a system of knowledge and a meaning to, for example, the system of cathedrals, the castles, the temples in Egypt, and how all these buildings are aligned in other cities of the world. And I think it's very important that Ion is just cleaning all this. And it's very interesting how, what you ask, that all the thunders are actually projections of our own body. And we thought we were expanding, but we were just being fragmented.
Yeah.
But somehow this expansion is taking us back to the wholeness.
Yeah, we are being extended. The mind brings in the numbing and the retrieval or the attempt to get back to what was comfortable. Now, did you notice in the MDA discussion, I remember this being said, I don't know if it was said here, it might have been said, you know, in the previous recording, I did the end of the, I started off the MDA. I think I'll play that. It's like the last 10 minutes or something. The first part of the MDA book, you didn't hear, and there's some important stuff in there, because they didn't talk about when what you heard. They didn't talk about the flipping of the wicker wire, or the, you know, the two tunnels, two funnels, right? You didn't hear that.
No.
No.
What the drug does. So I actually talk about that at the beginning of the 84. This is 84B. You heard most of 84 can't be heard, but the beginning when I did the book. So let me continue here and play it's at the end. I'm starting the MDMA book, and I don't know that they're going to leave for a minute or two or something. So we had to stop, and then they came back. So let's hear this. Pretty interesting. So mute everybody. Mute everybody.
All participants are now muted.
Start this. $49.02, and it goes
Oh, okay, so it's only 3 minutes, but this is good. I don't know if I announced that this is February 11th, 2016. So this is part one, and I begin the review of what the acid test book said about MTMA. So this is this should have the interesting point.
So now I'm going to go to page 307 of a book called Acid Test, subtitled LSD Ecstasy, that's the drug, LSD, Ecstasy, and the Power to Heal by Tom Schroeder, came out in 2014. So I go to page 307, and I have a set. They are describing what MDMA does to the body. So here's what it says: sight, sound, sense, and sensations from the sensory organs input into an egg-shaped region at the center of the brain called the thalamus. Question. That's not the hypothalamus. That's another part of the brain, correct?
That is correct. The hypothalamus is connected to the thalamus, but the thalamus is in the chest bone.
In the chest bone. In our
No, it's not. That's the thymus. The thalamus.
That's what he said.
No, he said.
I'm saying thalamus. T-H-A-L-A-M-U-S.
Look it up, Bob, and read it out.
Right. Sight, sounds. So here we go, Carol. Sight, sound, sense, and sensations from the sensory organs input into an egg-shaped region at the center of the brain called the thalamus, T-H-A-L-A-M-U-S. Is that thalamus near the hypothalamus?
The hypothalamus is in the base of the brain.
Right. And Carolyn, Ion said something was in the chest. He meant here? That's the thymus. Okay, no, we're not talking about the thymus. So the thalamus works with the hypothalamus in some special way, or just another interrelation of a body part?
It is a knee bone connected to the leg bone thing.
Right. So it has a very different role from the hypothalamus. Okay. Correct? The thalamus.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thalamus, thalamus, then distributes that sensory data back up to be processed by the more sophisticated and evolutionarily recent brain regions involved with conscious thought. Do you agree that that's going on? The thalamus then distributes that sensory data back up to be processed by the more sophisticated and evolutionary. You may not agree with evolutionary recent or sophisticated.
But it cycles it.
Right. And it goes through the part that's involved with conscious thought. Isn't that called the cortex?
Cerebral cortex.
Okay. The process material, sorted for context and assessed for significance, returns to the thalamus, which then deposits into a tuber-shaped portion of the brain just above the brainstem called the hippocampus, where it is stored as memory. You agree with that?
No, it's not stored as memory. It's where memories are kept, but it's not a storage unit. Because it's divided between
the different.
Storage
sounds like memory.
One divides input, divides it between short-term and long-term memory, which the long-term memory is in the back, short-term memory is in the front.
Yeah, I've heard that distinction. So, and neither
hey, gotta
are
go.
Not...
Gotta go, Bob.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear the wire whisk stuff. Ion's even on the chat line mentioning the wire whisk, so we might have you might not have noticed it. We did hear this talk about the blitz. Like I ask about something and they say, well, no, about the blitz. How does the blitz happen? And it happens because the wire funnel gets flipped. You guys don't remember hearing that in the previous session?
No.
They do it somewhere else. There it is. So that No, you heard it. I'm going to go just play it back for you so you get this. Really interesting. I'll just go back and replay that part.
MDMA, why does it give, what is the chemistry that makes it do what it does, even though it's temporary, the bliss? Well, why is
the
that
dopamine,
drug?
It flips the dopamine, the way the dopamine receptors process information. You remember the funnel?
Yes.
It inverts, it inverts that funnel. Or the perception of it. It inverts it. What's up is down, is down is up. And when you change that, that's all you have to change, it shifts. It becomes a, quote, kiss, could say, trip.
Right. And does science even know that, what you just said?
No.
They don't even know what they do.
They play that song really quickly when they don't know what else to say, but yeah.
You know, I look at the...
Okay, so did you hear that, Bert? The flipping of your perceptual, Ian has here, inverts the perception of the wire width. That's what causes the bliss, just by flipping maybe your perspective. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm. Yes. And that's in the thalamus? Is that taking place in the thalamus?
I don't know. It doesn't say, I didn't ask where it took place.
Okay. But he said dopamine receptors. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, where is... are you there, Roxy?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any commentary on the whole stuff we said?
Well, I was also always fascinated by the brain, and I felt this frustration when I learned that we just used a minimal part of the brain. And I remember on my first session with Ian, I asked him how to use the whole brain. And he said, we will. So for me, all this talk about the hypothalamus and all these substances are like very important, and it's like you said, this is getting very interesting, getting better now that we're starting to understand how to use all our body, all the technology we have there, and we don't need any expansion outside because we just have to use what we have.
Yeah, don't think that's inside yourself. It's in the autonomic system. It's not inside yourself. That's a correct.
Yes. Yes. I am a Bob.
You are a what?
A pre-oriented bastard. A pre-oriented
bastard. Yeah,
P-O-P.
Right. That's in there. Gene points out that I've been low the last few minutes. That's because my mic was up by my head. So, unfortunately, my brilliant commentary was limited over the past... you guys could hear it, but it was low, right? But you could hear it.
Yes.
Yes. You know,
we don't have to go over redo
it. You sounded like you were far away.
Right, and that's because I had the mic up, which was up while we were hearing the recording. Now, there's all kinds of commentary. Ian's commenting, but he hasn't come in as a telephone registration. Now, Sarah says, that's crazy, that song. That song was crazy. The song you just played is crazy.
Are you talking about Sleep Dirt or Stuff Up the Crack? Which song was crazy? Oh, no, it was Colony Vegetable. I think that's what she was talking about. So, Sarah, is that Colony Vegetable, that amazing guitar? Is that what you're referring to? So please spell that out. You know, Jean's very fast typist. I can't do anything. Jean immediately types it out. She's got here, MDMA flips the way the dopamine processes info. Very fast typer. So, yes, Sarah says the vegetable song, Colony Vegetable. What's wild about that, Sarah? It's good. You mean the lyrics? Lyrics are wild? Anyways, as you start bringing people in, but I'm waiting for Ion. We're pretty well finished. Oh, I found the Playboy article. And if Ion isn't going to be here for a while, I should maybe read it. What do you think? You want to hear it? the Playboy.
Yeah, what's the phrase? Hit it.
Yeah, hit it, Bob. But I don't want to start it because Ian might come in any minute. Let's see. But what the heck? Let's read it. Not that long of an article. It'll take a while. But if Ian's not going to come in right away, let's see what they say. Okay, so it's called Zubin and the Mothers. Article by F.P. Tullius, T-U-L-L-I-U-S, being a chronicle of the curious musical carryings-on between the Los Angeles Philharmonic and Frank Zappa's freaky band of minstrels. So it begins with a quote from Zappa. It says, Frank Zappa's closing message to tourists at the Hollywood Whiskey A Go-Go, December 1965. His quote is, if your children ever find out how lame you are, they'll murder you in your sleep. Now, remember, he later does the Jim Morrison thing. Father, I'm going to kill you. The father says, no, don't kill me. Now, let me beat myself off first. Not yet, son, not yet. So it's interesting. Zappa was saying at 65, don't know when Jim Morrison wrote the end, and Father, I want to kill you, but he could have heard Frank. Oh, they'll murder you in your sleep. Then Zappa, to a reporter in May 1970, says, Zubin Mehta knows his group. He says they're really good, that they can really pick things up fast, and that he's good at conducting and rehearsing and all that stuff. I should say he's full of it? It's a question. Now, this is May 1970, so this could have been after the concert. He's questioning whether Mehta is that good. So when we had that interview, when Zappa first was talking to Mehta and the other establishment classical musicians in L.A. on that radio show, Zappa was being respectful and this and that, but that doesn't sound very respectable. Mehta knows his group. He says they're really good, that they can really pick things up fast, and that he's good at conducting and rehearsing and all that stuff. I should say he's full of it, is the question. I should say he's full of it. So that's Zappa to a reporter. Then Susie Cream Cheese, quoting the back of the Freakout album, it says, these mothers is crazy. You can tell by their clothes. One guy wears beads and they all smell bad. We were going to get them for a dance after the basketball game, but my best pal warned me you can never tell how many will show up. None of the kids at my school like these mothers, especially since my teacher told us what the words to their songs meant. So those are the introductory quotes for the article. So it begins by saying, it was a nice California daylight evening, and outside UCLA's Poly Pavilion, the house they built for Alcindor, A-L-C-I-N-D-O-R. Dude, I think he was a basketball player, right? Bert Alcindor, Lou Alcindor or something?
Yes, that was
Bert. Did he drop? That's a basketball player. Poly Pavilion.
Yes.
What? House they built
for UCLA. That's what he was... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar now, but he was Lou Alcindor when he played at UCLA.
Okay. So it was a nice California daylight evening, and outside UCLA's Poly Pavilion, the crowd milling about and queuing at the wickets looked to be about the size of any good sellout crowd for the championship Bruin 5. So the UCLA college team basketball were called the Bruins, right?
Yes.
Okay. Except that its constituents of the crowd were different. There were lots of lank-haired chicks with nice barefoot dirty feet. In brackets, dirty bare feet always look cleaner than clean feet that have just been in shoes. Lots of fringed buckskin and denim everywhere, especially denim. Denim cutoffs. Now, this would be May 15, 1970. This is right after Kent State, which I think happened first week, May 4th, 1970. So this frisson, this chill has gone through the college activist crowd because these students were killed at Kent State. But this is a few days later. Lots of fringe buckskin and denim everywhere, especially denim. Denim cutoffs with tailored leather seams, denim jackets with embroidery, with red reflectors, denim Levi's for boys, for girls. Denim must be the one industry that is bullish these days because the latest scream is the poor look. Some of the holes at the knees even look as though they've been premeditatedly abraded with a nail file. And in order to get the washed-out look, dumped into mom's automatic five or six times in succession. That's how you get the washed-out look. And to fit like that around the ass, soaked in salt and put on wet. Put on wet. Worn wet. There had been trouble the week before at UCLA, and the school was still in semi-strike. So the screams and scuffling from the multitudes outside Pauley did not come as a surprise, though happily it turned out to be a little sidewalk cabaret by the local guerrilla theater. There were straights here, too, with children, and wearing suits from Silverwoods that probably didn't really cost much more than a Levi bike jacket with leather lining, and maybe a hell of a lot less than a suede frontier job from Hellbent for Leather on Hollywood Boulevard. In brackets, we may need a new definition of who the establishment is and who the people are. The straight Johns were here because Zubin Mehta was going to conduct the Los Angeles Philharmonic. This was the third concert in a series by the Music Center, known as Contempo 70, in brackets, quote, 20th century music, how it was, how it is, unquote. The denim nostalgie de la bouille crowd was here because Frank Zappa had reassembled his mother's invention, disbanded in late 1969, and was going to play. Some other misfits were here, no doubt, because Frank was going to play in concert with the Philharmonic, the world premiere of a 2.5-hour composition for mothers and orchestra, cut to about an hour for this performance, entitled 200 Motels. So from that, it looks like Zubin got it cut out before they performed. He made Frank give in. Then in brackets, such morganatic marriages are not entirely new to music. Some others, the Deep Purple and the Royal Philharmonic, the Stones and the London Bach Choir. Remember that drug-saturated masterpiece, You Can't Always Get What You Want? And the switched-on symphony series on TV. Inside, the L.A. Phils could be seen seated at one end of the basketball court, and behind and above them, two electric pianos, Hammond organ, drums, amps, and other esoterica of the mothers who were to come on later. The chairs on the basketball floor seemed to be garrisoned by Dorothy Chandler Pavilion season ticket holders, in brackets hereafter known as Dorothy Chandlers, close bracket, while the many more bleacher seats surrounding the court seemed to belong to the Zappa cheering section. Things were late, and about 10 till 9, Zubin Mehta, born in Bombay, India, strode to stage center, facing a crowd, incidentally, that seemed more empathetic in its lifestyle to indigenous Indians than to Hindus. Seeing that considerable of the eventual capacity of more than 14,000, remember they said 12,000 before, was still looking for its seats, he gave the audience a little lenyapi of Stravinsky. Finished with that, Zubin approached the microphone, found it dead, and so repeated the Stravinsky. Then, finding the mic still dead, he borrowed another from a member of the orchestra. This acoustic boost was to prove futile, however, for the Phils were up against one of the inventors and developers, one of the people of electrically zapped sound, in Frank Zappa of Lancaster, California, 5'10", 154 pounds. Yeah, he's one of these inventors and developers of microphones. So they're actually not together, not playing together. Using the auxiliary mic, Mehta, who looks like a mature Sabu, S-A-B-U, gave a little caveat to the people. Quote, I want to correct one misconception. Anyone who thinks he's come to hear a rock concert is mistaken. You are all trapped here under the pretext of hearing rock and roll. I don't want any misconceptions, especially with our older patrons. And there's laughter. 200 Motels will be a little rock and roll, but it's absolutely contemporary music, unquote. Zubin then introduced the first selection, Immobiles 1-4, for tape recorder and or orchestra by Mel Powell, who was described in the program as, quote, one of the preeminent figures in contemporary music, unquote. Powell was seated on the basketball floor. Maida struck up Immobiles 1-4 and was concluding the second of the four immobiles when there came a deep, urgent voice from the floor. Zubin! Zubin! Music stopped, and the voice was handed a mic, and it was Powell with a bulletin from the front that the tape recorder part of his composition hadn't been playing since the beginning. Another, a lot of breakdowns. So he was mad that his part was not being heard. After a brief consultation, Maida announced that he would skip the Powell piece and go into Varese's integrals. Edgar Varese, 1885 to 1965, has been called the grand old man.